All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. So 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 3 through 7 and then 13 through 15. So 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 3. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Just skip down, if you would, to verse number 13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Now let's go to the Lord. Father, we ask that you would bless our time together tonight. Father, I ask that you bless the reading of your word. Lord, guide us according to the scriptures, through the scriptures tonight, according to your will. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray our thoughts would be established. Father, you said that if we would commit our ways unto you, that you would establish our thoughts. And Lord, we commit this hour unto you and ask, Father, you would guide our thoughts. Help us not to be distracted by anything. Father, help us to be focused on you tonight. And I pray that you give us ears to hear, a heart to receive. I pray, Lord, you teach us exactly what we need to learn tonight. Remind us of what we need to remember. Lord, guide us through the scriptures. We thank you that, Father, the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, we ask that you give us wisdom, give us discernment. And through it all, we want Christ to be lifted up. We want you to be glorified, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, just the times that we live in, living in very uncertain times, uncertain as far as, you know, what's going to happen in the world and stuff. And I kind of say this, I've been saying this quite a bit lately, just again, I mean, because we're living in times that we've never lived in before. Just things getting crazy around here. And again, like I said just a second ago, that we're living in uncertain times as far as, you know, where is our country going to be at the end of the year? Where is our country going to be by the end of next year? You know, where's the world going to be? But one thing is certain is that Jesus Christ is coming again. One thing that is certain, as a child of God, you're on the winning side. But as we continue to live in this uncertain world, we do have to keep our focus on the one that is coming for us, the one who laid down his life on the cross for us. And on a Wednesday night, it's good to be encouraged in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the fact, as it says in verse number 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, at the appearing of Jesus Christ." And we're looking forward to that day, but we do have to keep our minds in check. We don't want to allow ourselves to start thinking things that are not true, causing ourselves to become fearful or doubtful, but always keeping the focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he even told us in the scriptures, that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There'll be some type of hardships that we face in life, just in general. Even as a Christian, things could get hard and tough for us. But I'm glad that Jesus said, "I've overcome the world." And we have victory because our Lord and Savior has overcome the world. But tonight I want to just remind us of a few things, a few truths according to scripture. When you look at verse 13, again, he says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, always keeping a right focus. Always keeping a right focus, because again, you and I will continue to hear things through the news media, through people, and things that are mixed with truth, things that are completely a lie. But again, you and I have to keep a right focus that God will never lead us astray, that God will always give us the grace to endure whatever we face. But while we're living this life, he has, let me remind us, he's given us a wonderful life to enjoy. Again, though there's sin in the world and this world is cursed by sin, yet we can still enjoy the life he's given us because it is the life that he's given us to walk with us and to guide us through this life and to shed his blessings upon us. But I want us to make sure that we keep a right focus, and that right focus, according to verse 13, says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Okay, don't allow your thoughts just to wander. Don't allow yourself to start thinking things that are not true. Don't allow the things that you hear, again, on the radio, the news media, TV, from other people that are not the children of God, that are not born-again believers. Don't allow what anti-Christ people say to cause you to start thinking things that are not biblical and scriptural. We still have to keep a right focus with our mind on Scripture. Again, as Peter writes this, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we want to make sure that our focus remains on the Scriptures. So look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Again, if we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, we see where the devil got into the mind of Eve, causing her to start thinking contrary to what God had said to Adam and Eve, that they were not to eat the forbidden fruit. But when she started thinking about what the devil had said, then she started looking at the fruit and thinking to herself that it was good for food, good to make one wise. You know what? It probably was good for food. It would make one wise because it was the tree that was forbidden. It was the tree that would allow you to know good from evil. And yet God still said, do not eat of that tree. So let me just even remind us that even though it may not seem evil of itself, it may seem like something that is good and could maybe benefit me, if God has said no, then we leave it at that. We say, okay, it's no. It's just like, again, it's just like a parent telling a child, no, you cannot, you know, have cookies before dinner. And this, again, it might be a silly illustration, but when you think about a parent telling a child, no, they can't have cookies. I mean, if they had a cookie, is it going to kill them? No. Is it going to harm them? No. But the fact the parent is saying, no, do not take a cookie, right? There's to be a level of obedience, and the parent expects the obedience from the child. God expects obedience from us according to his word and how he guides and directs us, right? But for us to keep our minds in check and to keep our minds focused with Scripture. Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world. All right, God tells us don't be conformed to this world. God has taken us out of this world spiritually. We are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the children of God. He's given us the power to become the sons of God. God no longer wants us to walk according to the ways of this world, but according to the ways of God, according to Scripture. And how do we do that? Again, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now listen, God's given us a mind to think. A mind is a wonderful thing. A mind is something that should not be wasted. God's given us the ability to think, the ability to reason, the ability to even imagine. But God wants our minds to be conformed to the truth of his word, because the truth of his word is what will guide us. The truth of his word is what will give us the wisdom, the discernment we need, even in the last days. And It is possible that we are in the last days, just as you see things very quickly advancing towards a one-world government. And the Bible talks about a one-world government in Revelation, talks about the Antichrist rising up and becoming that one-world leader. But praise God, according to God's word, the Antichrist will not be revealed until the church is removed, until the body of believers are removed from off the face of this earth. But we still need to be mindful. We still need to see the times. We still need to understand that, you know, things are happening. Things are aligning up with exactly what God's word says. We don't know the time that Christ will come. We don't know the moment the trumpet will sound, but Jesus even taught his disciples that, you know, you can tell by the seasons what's going to happen. You can tell when a fig tree is about to produce its fruit because of the season and stuff. But with our minds, we want to make sure that we stay with a biblical mindset, that we allow the word of God to guide us each and every day, because honestly, there's nothing to fear as far as the end. Again, there's a lot of people preparing for end times and preparing for the battle of Armageddon that the Bible talks about that are not even Bible believers. They're not even saved. They just know there's something going to happen because God said so. There's going to be something that happens. But as a child of God, we don't have to worry about it. We know that God will protect us and God will guide us. But we want to keep a right mindset. We want the word of God to guide us. And as it guides us, it will comfort us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because there's a couple of warnings in Scripture in regards to guarding our minds and guarding our thoughts. Romans 12 and verse 2 reminds us that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we need to have a biblical mindset as we live our lives. To find out, you know, what is God's will? Well, we go to the Word of God to find out what God's will is, because He's revealed His Word to us. And we're also reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 5 and 6. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he wants to remind them, listen, every thought you have that does not line up with Scripture, that does not line up with the way God thinks, and again, God's laid out in Scripture, we can know God's will for our individual lives. But he says, you know, casting down all imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And that's where the renewing of our mind comes in. That's where, again, saturating our hearts and minds with the Word of God, because we cannot think biblically outside of the Bible. We will not be guided in this life outside of Scripture. And God has not left us in the dark. God has revealed things to us. In fact, I think it's, look here, I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So you think about God's word. He's revealed to us through his word exactly what he wants us to know, how to live our life, how to raise our families, how to conduct ourselves as the children of God, as the people of God, but also gives us, you know, some insight into this world and how things are going to progress and transpire into a one-world government. Just as back in the Tower of Babel, back in Genesis, where they tried to do that, where Nimrod tried to be that one-world leader, and God confounded them, scattered them with the foreign languages and stuff, so he couldn't understand each other. Again, when you think about what Peter is saying, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind," it's nothing. This world will continue to get worse.
But it's nothing for God's people to be fearful of. But it shows us the season that we're in. It shows us the time is getting closer, closer to the appearing of our blessed hope. But we want to keep a right mind, want to keep our minds fixed upon the Lord and the fact that His timing is perfect, and we want to be found faithful at His return. We're not only living in those last days and getting closer and closer to the return of Christ, but also in the days that the Bible talks about, a great falling away, where many people fall away from the faith. They turn from the truth. They follow after fables. They follow after man-made philosophy and all this stuff. But God wants us to keep a right mind. He wants our minds to stay fixed upon His word that never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, just like He is. But also He wants us to keep a sober thinking. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and look at verse 8. Really, I guess the title of the message tonight could be Hope is Essential. Because our hope has to be based in the one who never fails, the one who's guiding us through this life, the one who has given us a lamp for our feet and a light for our path, His word, the one who walks with us along this journey. But He wants us to keep our minds focused on Him through Scripture so that we can have sober thinking. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He wants us to be reminded that we still have an adversary that seeks to destroy us. Because you know what? If he can devour you, then he can take away, he can destroy your testimony. Now, how is the devil going to devour us? I mean, he's got many ways of doing it. Again, God reminds us in His word, many will fall away because they have itching ears. There's something new that somebody is teaching that they go after, and it's temptation. But you know what? There's nothing new under the sun. We're even told that in Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. God has revealed to us exactly what He wants us to know, and God guides us by His word. But we have an adversary that wants to destroy every single one of us in this room tonight. And you and I have to remain close to the Lord. You and I have to keep a sober mind that, you know what? I do have an adversary that is always looking to get me off track, always looking to get me away from the protection of Jesus Christ. There's one that's always trying to get you one way or another. He's always watching. It's nothing to be afraid of. We don't need to fear the devil. He's a defeated foe. Our Savior, Lord and Jesus Christ, has gotten the victory over him, but we still have to be sober that, you know what? He still is a powerful demon. He still is powerful. He has power, but yet we're reminded, right, that we have a hedge of protection around us. We're reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ bought us with His precious blood, but He wants us to keep our minds fixed upon Him through the Scripture so it will keep a sober mind that our adversary is always looking to get God's people off the straight and narrow path. Get them wandering around instead of staying focused on the Lord. Again, that's why, I don't know if I'll get through all this tonight, but that's why we need to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to keep our eyes fixed upon the author and finisher of our faith, because if we don't, we'll be more easily susceptible to following lies, to following devices the devil puts in our life to cause us. And one thing, if I can just say this, one thing the devil uses is he will use at certain times offensiveness. He will cause somebody to either perceive something that's not true that's being said, or someone's ignoring you. We have to be very careful that we don't allow ourselves to be offensive. Offended, I should say that. Offended. All right? God is true. God is truth and God speaks truth. We have to make sure, and that's why you go back to Romans 12, verse 2, being transformed by the renewing of our mind. you know what? Maybe what I heard wasn't clear. I need to check into that, because if he can cause you or me to be offended by somebody else, someone else says something, does something, or doesn't say anything, and it causes an offense in us that we're offended by it, the devil will use that to draw us away from where God wants us and where the truth is. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, I bring this up because I recently had something happen that didn't realize had happened until after it already happened. I'm thinking, well, that's nothing to be offended over, but sometimes if we're not careful, we can easily be offended because somebody doesn't say something we like, somebody doesn't do something that we like. But we got to be careful, and again, it all starts with Scripture being very important to us and our hearts and minds being saturated with Scripture. In Psalm 119, let's see here, look at verse 165. Psalm 119 and verse 165, God's word says, "Great peace have they which love thy law," God's word, "and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." So it's important that the word of God is number one in our life, that we are saturating ourselves in the word of God daily, because again, the devil's always looking for ways to trip us up, to cause us to go astray, to cause us to leave where God wants us, because where God has us is right where he wants us to bloom and to grow in the Lord. Remember, when you look at Scripture and you look in the Gospels, the Pharisees were always trying to trip Jesus up in the Word. They were always questioning him, always saying things, trying to trip him up, and they couldn't because he's the Word. He's the living Word. And guess what? We have Christ in us. And not that we're perfect, not that we know every single Scripture. It would be wonderful if I knew Genesis all the way to Revelation, I could just quote the whole thing and just pull verses out when I need to be encouraged. But it takes practice on our part to memorize Scripture, to read it consistently and daily. So again, we want to fix our mind upon Christ through the Scripture so that we have sober thinking and we also have secure thinking. All right, security. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll probably just start reading these off real quick, because we're still on point number one. But Ephesians chapter 6, you look at verse number 14 if you're turning, and we're told, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Having your loins girt about with truth. How can we be secure in our thinking and know that what we're thinking is true? Does it line up with Scripture? Does it line up with Scripture? Because Jesus said in John 17:17, as he prayed for not only disciples there on that night that he was betrayed, but also for all those that would believe on him after, he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. We can have secure thinking and know that what we're thinking is right when it lines up with Scripture and it matches Scripture and God is guiding us. Now, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Again, security in our thinking and soberness is we know there's only one way of salvation. And we know, as Paul says to the church at Rome, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Now, has the gospel lost any power if someone rejects it? No. Absolutely not, because there's somebody else listening, and there's been many, many testimonies of people getting saved, not because they were being spoken to directly, but because they heard indirectly, they heard somebody else, you know, and they rejected, and they listened, and their heart was drawn to Christ, right? But security in the fact that the gospel is still true. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Again, if we are saturating ourselves in Scripture and we have sober thinking, then we are secure in the fact that even though I may be weary at times, yet if I don't give up, if I keep leaning upon the Lord for grace and for strength, in due time I shall reap. And reap what? Maybe it's some prayer request you've been praying for a long time. And you know what? When you've prayed for a long time and you're seeking God for an answer and it just seems like time keeps going on, it seems like God's not answering, that kind of grows on you. That can kind of cause you to become weary and even praying anymore because it's like, well, I guess God's not going to answer. But don't grow weary in praying just because you don't get an immediate answer. Keep praying until you get a yes or no answer. And Jesus gave us the example of the woman that went to the worldly judge and just kept going and going and going until he finally said, you know what? I better do what she wants lest she wearies me, right? God wants us not to give up. Don't believe the lies that God's not hearing or listening. He is, but we have to remind ourselves that God's timing is perfect and God's always doing multiple things at one time. Lastly, 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Remember, you and I are still serving a risen Savior. We're still serving one that conquered death and hell for us, the one who holds the keys of death and hell, the one who has bought us by his precious blood, the one who paid for our sin penalty, the one who rose from the grave victoriously to give us life. He's the one that we follow. Again, living in this life and all the things that we hear that's going on in this country and around the world can cause people to become fearful, doubtful, and to give up and say, well, what's the point? It just seems like evil just progresses and progresses and progresses. But yet the judge of all the earth shall do right. And if I can remind us of this one last truth, just in what we're talking about and having a right mind and keeping our minds fixed upon the Lord, even though it may seem like sin abounds and abounds and abounds, yet the Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But also the fact and the truth that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance, all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So our minds need to be washed with the Word of God. Again, if we allow all the things that we hear in a day stay in our mind and we just focus on all the things that we hear, then it can cause our hearts to become fearful. It can cause us to doubt. It can even cause us to get to a place where, okay, I don't even care. We don't even think about it. We don't even pray. But again, God wants us to. God wants us to pray. God wants us to be reminded. Look back, if you would, at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 13 again. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just a wonderful thought. Jesus Christ. When at any given moment in your day or week, reflect upon Jesus Christ. Reflect upon who he is. Reflect upon the fact that he is coming back for you specifically. I know he's returning. I know the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, and those which are alive and remain will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord and to be with him forever. But the fact is, you can think specifically, he's coming back for me. He's coming back for me. And that gives us encouragement. That helps us to keep our eyes fixed upon him. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Because it doesn't matter what anyone says, it doesn't change the truth of who Jesus is. Many antichrists will say Jesus was just a good man. He's not returning. Even as Jesus even said in one section, you know, there'll be those that say, where's the promise of his coming? All things continue since the fathers have fell asleep. Again, yeah, because God's very patient. He's more patient than any human whatsoever. I mean, if you can find a million humans that have just the excellency of patience, they don't come close to how patient God is. God is very patient. But in Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven. And really, among God's people, our conversation should be in heaven. We should be encouraging other people that God is still good and God still sits high and lifted on his throne and our Savior still watches over us and we still have something to look forward to. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus even warned his disciples there'd be false teachers that would say, you know, here is Jesus or there is Jesus. He said, don't listen to them if they say, I'm out in the wilderness or whatever. Many have come and tried to say that they were Jesus. But here, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. Right? We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Again, our focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that sits at the right hand of the Father, the one that sits at the right hand of the Father, a symbol of the fact that he finished the Father's will when he came to this earth and lived a life tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to be hungry and thirsty and tired. He allowed himself to experience that, but he also never complained, never murmured. There was no sin found in him, and he gives us, obviously through his Spirit, we're able to follow in his footsteps. Not that we're perfect, but we're able to lean upon him. We're able to draw grace and strength from the Lord to keep pressing on, to have the right mindset that, no, we're on the winning side and we keep praying against sin, praying against wickedness, praying for God to move in the hearts of people, to pray that God would even move in our own lives and the things that we are dealing with. But our focus has to remain on the one who gives us victory. Our faith gives us the victory over this world because our faith is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's see here. Time. All right, we're going to skip down to verse 14. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 14 and 15. Now, as we focus on the Lord, and we keep our focus on the Lord through the Scriptures, letting the Word of God guide us, direct us, change our thinking so we have biblical thinking, because it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We are renewed by the Word of God. It helps us to be fashioned after Christ. Look at verse 14 and 15. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. For he said, I am holy, or be holy, for I am holy. We're living in a time and age where people don't want to be holy. Now, when the Scripture says, be holy, for I am holy, God knows that we're not sinless, we're not perfect. But he's calling us to walk in the light. He's calling us to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Our life should be different from those that are not born again, those that are not the children of God. Our life should bear out something that's different. And the way it's going to do that is first starting again with our minds being transformed. We have a biblical mindset. We have a Christ-like mindset that my life now is all about glorifying the Father, showing the world that Jesus Christ lives because he lives within me, and that happens through being obedient. Look at verse 14.
Amazing. I didn't pick the songs tonight, but just the first song we sang, just about obedience. Obedience to the Lord. And it says, in fact, read verse 13. Look at verse 13 again. 13 and 14 together. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the one that's going to be bringing, right, joy and happiness and grace with him for us, but also as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, being obedient children, all right? Fashioning our life, because we read through the scriptures how our life has been changed by the power of God and how much God loves us and how much of a new life that Christ gives us, and he wants to give us an abundance of life, and we're going to get an abundance in heaven and through eternity, but even now as we continue to live this journey that we're on, the fact that he says, as obedient children. Again, any parent, any loving parent loves it when their children obey. In fact, we love it when children obey without being told to obey. When they just, for some reason, some strange moment, they decide to, you know, go clean the kitchen for you without being asked. It's like, wow, what happened to my kid? Who are you? That happened recently in our home. It was like, it was a good thing. But, I mean, that's what parents, they want. They want their kids to be able to obey. We teach them to obey. Why? Because if they don't, they can end up hurting themselves. Just an example. I mean, you teach kids, don't cross the street without looking both ways. I took some of our kids on a walk this afternoon around our neighborhood, and I had one daughter pushing the stroller, and I had them stop. I said, anything coming? She's like, nope. I'm like, but you didn't look. She's looking straight ahead. I'm like, what's, I said, look to the left. She looked to the left. I said, look to the right. Anything coming? Nope. Okay, now let's go. We're training. I mean, you want them to obey because you know at some point that they're going to be faced, we will be faced with decisions that if we're not guided by God, if we're not listening, if we're not focused on the Lord, could cause us problems if we just do it in our own will and what we think. So again, fashioning our lives according or after God through obedience. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. But I love the truth and the fact that God is the ultimate heavenly Father. He's the ultimate Father that cares more about our needs than any earthly father. I care about the needs of my kids, but I know that God cares more about them. He gave them their life. And if God's given us a life to live, and as we read scripture and we see where God says, you know, pull down the imaginations out of your minds that are contrary to him, well, God knows that we can easily be swayed. We can easily turn aside, all right? We need God's wisdom. We need God's discernment in our life. But God wants us to be obedient, putting him first, again, knowing. Again, I know as some teenagers, I know when I was a teenager, I rebelled against my parents. I rebelled against authority, thinking I'll live my own life. I'll make my own decisions, which cost me, you know, some harm along the way, as it will when you go against authority and you go against what's right, all right? But you think about Jesus Christ laying down his life for us on the cruel cross, laying it down, allowing himself to go through the crucifixion, allowing himself to go through the scourging, everything he went through and endured for us. And I say us as in all people. Not just those that will be saved, but all people. He died for all sins. He died for all people. But not all people will put their faith and trust in him. But when you think about, and this is why in the beginning you think about our focus being on Christ through the scriptures, because as we continue to read the scriptures, we're continually reminded of the goodness of God towards us, the love of God towards us,
what God has done for us to give us the life that we have, the liberty in Christ, it should bring us to a place in our life where, you know what, whatever God asks of me, I will willingly do it because he laid down his life for me. But at the same time, knowing the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, we need to stay close to the Lord, knowing the devil can appear, the Bible says, as an angel of light, pretending to be good, pretending to have a good message to lead people astray. That's why it's important to stay close to God through his word and to be obedient to God. In Romans chapter 6, look at verse 16 through 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Read this and I'll give you an account of a missionary in a second. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Again, scripture's plain. Whoever we obey, that's who we're the servants to. And we want to be the servants to God. All right? Now, we still have sinful flesh. There'll still be temptations, but God's given us a way of escape. We can always run to him. Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So again, you understand, once we were enslaved to sin, but Jesus Christ broke those chains, we now are, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we are the servants of righteousness. We're the servants of God. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to follow by obedience, even if it means I don't get my way. Even if it means that God does not agree with me. God will never agree with us 100% unless what we are believing is based on Scripture. But we are to obey him and agree with him. He's always right, right? God's not a man that he should lie. But again, as obedient children, as I was reading that, and before I was thinking of a missionary. He's no longer a missionary. He's been retired for a while for health reasons and stuff. But he was a missionary down in Brazil. And I heard his story, and he's got his kids have grown up. They're missionaries in Brazil right now. But when his kids were younger, I forget how old it. Probably the range of my kids. He had three kids, and he was sitting on his porch one day, talking to a pastor. And he interrupted the pastor and said, "Wait a minute!" And he called out the name of his child, and they were out playing in the yard under a tree. He called out their name, and they stopped. And the next command from the father was drop. The child dropped. "Crawl here." And the child crawled to the father. As soon as the child got out from underneath the tree, I forget what type of snake it was, but there was a snake in the tree that dropped down right where that child was standing. Now, what if the child had not obeyed? What if the child had not listened and dropped and crawled to the father? That's the importance of obedience, is that when God speaks to our hearts, he wants immediate obedience. Because we don't know all the dangers around us. Again, that's why scripture says the devil's a roaring lion. As a roaring lion. We can't see our enemy. And again, like I've said before, our enemy is not necessarily a person in front of you. We have a spiritual enemy. We have an enemy of darkness that's always lurking around. We don't know where he's at. We don't need to be fearful of him. The Lord's with us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. All right. But again, it's important to obey because we never know the danger that's lurking around that God is drawing us away from and is trying to direct us away from it. And again, he does it through his word. He does it through his word. His word warns us of dangers in our life. He wants us to pay close attention. And that's why we need to keep our eyes upon the author and finisher of our faith. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, just a few more verses here. 1
1 John chapter 2, look at verse 15 through 17. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Again, he's simply saying, anyone that loves the things of this world more than God, either the Spirit of God's not in him or he's been given over. Now again, when you go back and Paul had a companion by the name of Demas who walked with him, who traveled with him, who was a co-laborer with him. I mean, in one of his epistles, he's pretty much praising Demas for being such a wonderful companion to him and a wonderful co-laborer. But then he has to write to another church later on that Demas forsook him, having loved this present world. So we got to be careful that the things of this world do not draw and take our affection and love away from the one who loves us the most and has given his life for us. But again, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And we want to do the will of God. We want to be in the center of God's will every day. We want to be focused on the Lord. We want to be seeking after God. It's not that we're perfect. It's not that we won't mess up at times. But if we will have a heart's desire and saturate our minds and hearts with the Word of God and let the Word of God truly be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path, it will guide us through this life according to God's will. We will be encouraged by the Holy Spirit many, many times to look unto the author and finisher of our faith, to look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Always making sure that we are obedient children unto the Lord, looking to follow the Lord. God will always guide us according to truth. God will always guide us according to his will. And as we continue to live in this world, even in the time that we're living in, we need God's guidance more than ever. We've always needed God's guidance, but more than ever now, just because of the, I'll say, the spirit of hatred that just seems to be permeating throughout this world and in this country more and more, and just it's drawing people from one side to another. I mean, it's causing divisions and stuff in families, and even there's been church members, not just here, but other churches around the country that I know of, and people just, they're being drawn away because of what they believe instead of what the Scripture says. Instead of putting God's word first, they're allowing their feelings to direct their steps, but we want God's word to. Last place, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. God wants to use you as a vessel of honor. God wants to use you in the moment of your life that you're living in and in the time that you're living in, just like he did with Esther. And just like he did with Daniel, and just like he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and just like he did with David and Ruth and all those throughout Scripture. He wants to use you as a vessel, and we should have a desire to be used by God. But God can only use a vessel that's holy, it's purified, sanctified, and it's not being filled up with junk. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Again, if you and I have the hope within us that we know we are the children of God, we're going to see him face to face one day, and the fact that his return is imminent, meaning it could happen at any moment, that we should live soberly with a sober thinking and a secure thinking that, you know what, I know I'm a child of his. I know that one day I'm going to see him face to face. And with that thinking, I want to be prepared. I want to be prepared in my life to meet my Savior. That means, you know, that means analyzing your life. Is there anything in my life that the Lord would not be happy about? Is there anything that I'm doing in my life that the Lord would not be happy about, that maybe I would be ashamed of when I saw him face to face? Because again, that moment that we meet him in the air, it's like the twinkling of an eye. I mean, it's very quickly when it happens. Now sometimes, you know, when I was a kid, I remember this one time, I always had the rule I wasn't supposed to go outside and play until my parents got home. Well, sometimes they got home and it was dark. Unfortunately, I would disobey at times. I remember this one time not thinking, and I was outside playing with a friend. Totally lost track of time. I was not prepared for my dad to come home at the moment he came home. And when he came home and walked out the back door into the backyard, and I looked, and there he was, this big, tall figure standing in the door. He didn't have to say a word. I knew I was in trouble. You never know when the Lord's going to return. The life we live now, we know the world's going to get worse. We know things are going to happen according to Scripture. But what happens in this world should not dictate how we live our life. What should dictate how we live our life is the Word of God and the Spirit of God in us, preparing us for the moment that we're going to see our Savior, living a life that obviously lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ, glorifies God, and draws us closer to Him. Again, we're living in a day and age like never before. I mean, just the hatred towards God, His Word, and anything that's associated with God, it's worse today than it ever has been before, and it'll continue to grow because of the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world. Jesus even told his disciples that when he was telling his disciples about the Antichrist that will come in the end, he said, but now there are many Antichrists. There are people that are against the things of God. But our heart should continue to draw closer to the Lord. We should continue to look for the blessed hope who gives us the encouragement to continue living on and continue enjoying the life that he's given us while we prepare for his return, while we prepare to meet him in the air. But again, being that example to those around us, living our life that, as Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men, letting people see, hey, I'm not worried about what's happening in this world, because I know the judge of this world is going to set it all in order. And he's the one that I follow, and he's the one that encourages me. So keep your hope upon the Lord. Keep following the Lord. Keep saturating your heart and mind with the Word of God, because Jesus prayed. In John 17, that was Jesus praying at the temple before he crossed over the brook, before he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was betrayed, after he had a meal with his disciples, after he instituted the Lord's Supper, they left. They're going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He stops by the temple and prays for his disciples and for all that will believe on him after that. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is what needs to continue to guide us each and every day of our life. It will encourage us. It will give us wisdom. It will help us to make the right choices, and it'll help our minds to stay focused on the Lord. Let's have a